Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Need or on the rocks? You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's sports leader, 95.7 ESPN.
All right, you're back in the sports bar. This Bills injury report, it's lengthy. We should be concerned. What's the real scoop? Let's go to Orchard Park and check in with our buddy Marcel Louis-Jacques, covering the Bills for ESPN's NFL Nation. Marcel, how are you, man?
I'm excellent. Like we were talking about a little bit before, man, this weather is beautiful again. You know, we had that little scare last week. The week before, like, winter was almost here, and I'm not sure I was ready for that quite yet. Matter of fact, I mean, you know, already researching flights out, but we're back to normal right about now, and you know, good to talk about some football.
Yeah, we know with Sean McDermott, he's not going to tell you or anybody else, well, you know what, we're really concerned about X player this week. That you know, here on a Wednesday, they like to see how things play out. But Marcel, when we rattle off all the injuries here, what is the level of concern right now for the Buffalo Bills on the injury front?
I don't know if I'm ready to push the panic button when it comes to worrying about the Bills. Obviously, a lot of DNPs on the field, but when you look at, you know, Jerry Hughes, that's a rest day. You know, Tre'Davious White did have a red jersey on. It's kind of, you want to say load management here. I know that's kind of a taboo phrase in the NBA, but you got to think that they're incorporating some of that load management here in the NFL, especially, you know, with no preseason games, and the guys are still kind of getting used to, you know, getting their bodies readjusted to the wear and tear of a season. And especially with all the injuries suffered league-wide last week, you'd got to think that the approach here is caution. The move here is caution. So yeah, it's a lot. It's a lengthy injury report for a Wednesday, but this is when a lot of those things are still bump. Are still, you know, these are when these injuries pop up.
Seems to make sense, Marcel.
This long, yeah. If it's this long on Friday, then yeah, cause for concern.
All right, so let's talk about the guys that did return, because we didn't have Milano and Edmonds on the field on Sunday, but we have both of them back in practice in a limited fashion, and Milano not even wearing the red non-contact. So tell us about what you saw out of the linebackers that returned to practice today.
Yeah, that was huge to have Milano back in pads too, like not in full pads, not in the red contact. Because he wasn't anywhere near the practice field during media availability, or during the portions available to the media last week. Now, you like to say, you know, it's exciting it's optimistic to see Tremaine Edmonds there in a red jersey, but you got to remember that this is how he started last week as well. He wore the red non-contact jersey for two straight days before ultimately not practicing Friday and not playing Sunday. So you want to be cautiously optimistic here if you're a Bills fan. But, you know, at the end of the day, availability is availability. So these guys are on the field. It is a positive sign. It's a more positive sign than obviously them not being on the field.
Certainly we want to talk about Josh Allen and the offense. But while we're talking about the linebacker, I was encouraged by Dotson. I want to get your thoughts on Terrell Dotson and what kind of future he might have in Buffalo. Because at least based off of one game, Marcel, seemed like he made some plays against the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think that it was a promising start. He looked like somebody who belongs on the field. One thing, you know, you see when you rewatch the tape though, is he had a tendency to maybe play a little too fast. And for everybody who played youth and high school football, probably was heard this, like, if you're gonna make a mistake, make it at 100%, go 100 miles an hour. It looks like he was going 100 miles an hour, you know, at his first read. And the Dolphins took advantage of that a little bit in the second half, and they started picking them apart through the middle of the field, especially with tight end Mike Gesicki. So there are things that, you know, he can watch the tape and he can probably clean up moving forward. But I think there's a role for him. It looks like there can be a role for him, you know, moving beyond week two. And, you know, I think that you've got to feel, if you're Leslie Frazier and Sean McDermott and Bob Babbage, you got to feel a little more comfortable about the state of your linebacking corps if Tremaine Edmonds is not able to play for another week.
Marcel, we saw what you're describing from week two against the Dolphins in that middle of the field. You know, so much of this defense is determined by how disciplined the players are to where they need to be and when. And we know that the Rams run more play action than any other team in the league now through 2 weeks. How much of a challenge is this going to be for the Bills defense going up against what looks to be a rejuvenated Rams offense?
It's going to be a challenge, especially if they're shorthanded. The blueprint is on tape now of how to attack Buffalo's defense. And, you know, it's not just the Rams coming up. Obviously, they got guys like Higbee, who scored three times against Philadelphia last week. They got Kupp. They got Robert Woods. Bills fans are very familiar with him, obviously. But even moving forward, the tight ends that they're about to face over the next 4 weeks are exceptional. I mean, you've got Darren Waller next week. You got Jonnu Smith the week after. And then you've got Travis Kelce on a short week right after that. So you've got to – this kind of reminds me of their struggles defending the inside zone last year, where they went through a stretch where they were the worst interior run defense in the NFL. Mm-hmm. It's a thing that you have to clean up, and you got to do it immediately, or teams are going to copy that. And with this schedule, from especially weeks 3 to 14, you can't afford to have a glaring weakness in your defense or in your team, period, because there are no gimmies moving forward here. You've got to win, and you've got to come out of this 11-12 week stretch with 8 or so wins if you want to really put that clamp on this division.
Marcel Louis-Jacques, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, covering the Buffalo Bills, our guest here on a Wednesday. Marcel, Josh Allen, AFC Offensive Player of the Week, 417 yards, third best in Bills franchise history. And you posed the question on Twitter, and I'm going to read it back to you and then let you answer. Is Josh Allen's emergence as one of the NFL's premier passers real or mirage, Marcel?
I think it's for real. I think it's for real for mainly this reason. When you look at, I mean, he's always dominated the Dolphins, and, you know, he played okay against the Jets in week one last year, but even against some of the worst defenses they played last season, and they played a lot of bad defenses, Josh Allen was not tearing it up through the air. The Bills were winning games because their defense was way too stifling for these poor teams to overcome. And then Allen and the offense could do just enough. Make no mistake that these first two games, the defense was lights out in week one against the Jets, but these first two games have been Buffalo victories because of what Allen has been able to do through the air, not in spite of what he's been able to do through the air. And especially again, week two against Miami, he only ran the ball two times. And I don't think either of them were design runs. I think he scrambled both times. The fact that he can dominate so thoroughly without using what so many people have called his best trait, up to this point in time, is exceptional. Like it's noteworthy. So there's going to be he gets a way tougher test against the Rams here on Sunday. We'll see how, you know, if he can still escape the pocket and extend plays with Aaron Donald coming down on him. We'll see if that blind trust he's got in Stephon Diggs is still there and still pays off against Jalen Ramsey. We'll see, you know, if he tries to force the issue or continues to just take what he can get. But this is going to go a long way. This week's going to go a long way toward legitimizing Josh Allen. I think it's for real, though. I think it's for real. Yeah. He played plenty of bad defenses last year, and he was not doing this. So at the very worst, he is truly developed.
Well, I love what you're saying, Marcel, and it's one of the things I love to ask about any of any team that is having issues at the quarterback position or they're not sure about their quarterback. The question I always ask is, can you win with or because of that quarterback? And to hear you say that the Bills won because of Josh Allen, I can't argue with you that you're absolutely right. My question is this the blueprint now for the Bills moving forward? Because we are so accustomed to seeing a stout defense keep the Bills games close, whereas now you've got a guy who can actually, when everything is going his way, can win games for you, and you're winning because of how prolific this offense has looked.
I think as a defense, it lets you play a lot more free, knowing you don't have to turn in a perfect effort just for your team to have a chance anymore. Like, you can turn it, like, I don't think they're going to mail it in, but there's a lot less pressure knowing, okay, even if we don't have our A game today, like, our offense is capable of carrying the load. And my God, if both units are clicking or are on at the same time, how are you going to win a game against this Bills team? If this offense is throwing for 300 plus yards a game, just throwing for 300 plus a game, and the defense is as stifling as it's been the past three seasons, then yeah, that was the catalyst. That was the X factor, right? The number one question of Buffalo: hey, is Josh Allen, is he going to develop? Is he going to, you know, can he become a franchise quarterback? Because the rest of this roster is Super Bowl ready. Well, if Josh is playing at an MVP caliber level and the rest of the roster is admittedly Super Bowl caliber, then, I mean, you do the math there. What usually happens with Super Bowl caliber rosters and MVP quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, it could be a fun ride here. Marcel Louis-Jacques. Marcel, we spent the better part of our show yesterday talking about the schedule here, and that kind of the joke that, you know, the subdivision part of the schedule is over with the Jets and the Dolphins. What is a realistic expectation the next four games? Because after the Rams, you go to Vegas, and they just beat the Saints on Monday Night Football, and then they play a team that went to the AFC Championship game, and my partner Danger over there may scoff at the Titans, but I think that that's going to be a tough game, certainly. And then you get the Super Bowl champs against the Chiefs. What is a realistic expectation the next four games? Is that two wins? Is that more? How would you lay out the next quarter of the season here for the Buffalo Bills?
I think your floor there, the floor here has got to be two wins. You can't come out of this stretch anything worse than 2-2, because although you do get the Jets and on a long week after you play Kansas City, it gets no easier from there. You go New England, you go Seattle, you get Arizona, you get the Chargers, the Niners, the Steelers. There's no weeks off anymore. Like, you can't be playing catch up because of an early season stumble. Realistically, I think they've got what it takes. They can beat the Rams. I think realistically, they can beat the Raiders. The Raiders beat up on a bad Panthers team, and they took advantage of a Saints team that might be a little overrated. Drew Brees is not looking does not look like himself through the first 2 weeks, and that defense really got carved up. But other than that, you know, the Raiders offense or the Raiders defense is nothing special. It's nothing spectacular. Tennessee is going to be a tough one, I think. It's on the road. It's coming right after you're going all the way to the West Coast to play Las Vegas. That's a physical team. You got a big running back in Derrick Henry. You got an adept passing game as well. And then you got to turn around and get Patrick Mahomes on a short week. I think, personally, I think best case scenario, besides going 4-1 at 4-0, I think the best case scenario here is 3-1. I think that, you know, it'd be natural to drop one of those games given the travel and the rigors and the physicality of these teams. But the floor, that the best case scenario is debatable. I don't think the floor is. Your floor's got to be two wins here, or, you know, it's, you know, you're in scramble mode.
Well, Marcel,
you can't be in scramble mode.
Hear me out on this for a second, because the Patriots schedule, when you look at it here, you could make a case that the Patriots and the Bills, when they do face off there on November 1st, could be playing for first place in the AFC East. I mean, they've got the Chiefs after they play the Raiders this weekend. You imagine that would be a tough one for the Patriots. I mean, they might come out of this, you know, with the same amount of wins when it's all said and done as what the Bills have, if the Bills were to go, let's say, one out of the next four. I'm not saying that that's what I think is going to happen, but, you know, one in three could still put you in a position where you're playing for first place on November 1st against the New England Patriots at home.
Yeah, and absolutely. But I think New England looks better than a lot of people, myself included, gave them credit for. I think Cam Newton is fully healthy. I think the defense is still it's kind of finding a way. Got lit up a little bit against Seattle, but looked strong against a Miami offense that did tear into Buffalo a little bit. No matter who's missing at linebacker, I just don't think you want to play the neck and neck game with New England this season. I think if this is your window, you've got a good enough offense. You've got the same defense that we've known the past several years. I think this is the time you got to start to distance yourself. You've got to leave no doubt. You've got to put it in, put them in the rear view, foot to throw, every analogy that you want to throw in there. But it starts now, because they're still winnable games. They're still winnable games. Kansas City looked a little vulnerable against a rookie quarterback making an emergency start. So I think these are still winnable games right now. You got to win them, because once that stretch I mentioned before kicks in, it's grueling. It's grueling. And I think it's reasonable to expect a couple losses in that stretch. But here you do have a chance to go 3-1. You even have a chance to go 4-0. But anything worse than 2-2, I think is leaving things to doubt, is leaving a sliver of chance to New England. And that's not something I think you want to worry about. Not this season, when you do have a better roster. You do have a division championship caliber roster.
Marcel Louis Jacques covering the Buffalo Bills, bringing it here in the Sports Bar 95.7 ESPN. Bills Rams Sunday from Bills Field, 1:00. We know there's not going to be any fans, but Marcel, there was the report out of the Buffalo News that the Bills are at least doing their due diligence about what it would look like, and we saw fans in Dallas this past week. We saw fans in Miami, and I know ultimately this question can't be answered by you. It's got to be answered by Albany. But what are we hearing right now? Because I can only imagine that from the Bills standpoint, in that front office and ownership, they got to be doing some lobbying here, because it would really be nice to get some people in the stands at some point here in 2020.
Yeah, I think for starters, that in any reports or anything you hear about the team doing due diligence and trying to get fans, of course the team wants fans at their games. Like, I don't want people to get their hopes too high because they hear that the team is looking into it, because if it was up to the team, it's still a business and they want to put fans in the seats. They love their fans here, and that is a focal point. But it depends on what the county and what the state is comfortable doing, and especially after, after the initial outbreak in New York City, I think that they are erring on the side of caution here. It's coming from experience, and I don't think they're terribly concerned about what teams in other states are doing. I don't think that Dallas having fans, and this is just for anybody who's making the comparison, I don't think Dallas having fans and Miami having fans, Nashville or Tennessee having fans, I don't think that's going to have too much of an impact on how Erie County and the state of New York make their decisions for professional sporting events. I think that they are hyper-focused on what's going on within the state, and they're not looking to make comparisons outside of it. But it would be exciting. You would love to see fans at that Thursday night game against Kansas City. That's a big circle on everybody's calendar ever since the game was announced in April. But if not, then, just know that people are making these decisions to try to keep you safe and, try not to get too angry over it.
Marcel, what's on tap at ESPN.com that our listeners can check out this week?
Yeah, I'm actually in a few minutes. I'm going to speak to, let's say somebody close to Josh Allen to get a little better feel as to why we're seeing this explosion from him early on in the season, somebody who's familiar with his mentality and how he trains in the off season. So that's on tap coming up on Friday, and everything other than that, it's, you know, it's business as usual. You know, we're watching film. We're trying to get you prepared. We're trying to help your fantasy team out, whatever you need. That's what myself, my colleagues and coworkers, that's our biggest focus right now.
All right, Marcel. So when you talk to Jordan Palmer, can you ask him if he was working with Sam Darnold on something other than his tan? Because we don't know what's happened to Sam Darnold through 2 weeks so far this season.
Now, I'm not going to confirm or deny that I'm talking to Jordan Palmer. Yeah. But I will say that if I were talking to Jordan Palmer, the subject of Sam Darnold might come up.
Of course.
Once or twice. Yeah.
Marcel, it's great hearing your voice, man. Thanks for the time, as always.
Of course. Thanks for having me on, guys. Y'all have a good one.
You got it. Marcel Louis-Jacques. He's our favorite every Wednesday. You can catch him here on ESPN Rochester giving us the latest from Orchard Park.
Yeah, and Jordan was on One Bills Live today, albeit with a bad phone connection, and it was tough to fight through, but Brownie and Tasker did their best. So
you know what? It's so staggering to see what's happened with Josh so far this season and what's happened with Sam so far this season. They both worked with Palmer in the offseason. What happened? Is it the wide receiving core? I mean, it's got to be a big chunk of it, right? The idea that Darnold is thrown to a bunch of slappies and you've got a true number one in Stephon Diggs now in Buffalo?
They're just putting together the line right now with the Jets. Okay, that was done last year in Buffalo. And you see now, this year, you have the skill position. What does Sam Darnold have to work with? I feel sorry for that guy, and that's how you break somebody. It's funny how the Jets have gone in reverse, and the Bills have built it block by block by block, and here you have it. Marcel, if you jumped in at the end of that, I'd like to go back to the beginning. He says don't panic yet,
Yeah. Basically,
when it comes to the injury report. Now, if we get to Friday, and then you're getting a lot of questionables and everything else, and DMPs for do not practice, he compared it to NBA load management.
Sure.
We hate that in the NBA, but, well, I guess it didn't work out with Kawhi Leonard this year, but it worked out last year. So if you're taking it from that standpoint,
hey, look,
then
it makes sense. I get it. It makes sense. And you got guys that are dinged up that they played tough on Sunday. And to see Oliver come back in the game on Sunday, like, these guys are balling. They're putting a lot on the line. Give them a day if they need a day, a little maintenance day, and then get them back out there hopefully later this week. That's what we'll be keeping an eye on here as we get closer to game day. Sunday, you'll be able to hear the action 9 a.m. pregame. Bills, Rams from Buffalo. Here on ESPN Rochester. NFL appetizers next in the sports bar.
Yeah, so we'll talk about the honors for Josh Allen. Some impressive numbers indeed. Gosh, the Chargers story. If you haven't heard the reason why, Tyrod Taylor will review that. News from the Giants and Hall of Famer passing.
All right, we'll get to all of that and more next. NFL appetizers in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
ESPN Rochester knows there's more to life than sports.
Kidding.
College basketball and football.
Put it away for these LSU Tigers.
The NBA.
Down to Davis. Feeds LeBron and traffic glides to the rim for two.
Major League Baseball.
And this one will find the Crawford boxes for a home run. And all of a sudden, it's a one-run game.
Your proud home of the Buffalo Bills.
Allen in the gun. Steps away from pressure again. Fires it now on the run. Caught by Beasley at the 10. Headed in the end zone. Touchdown. Touchdown, Buffalo.
Buffalo Sabres. Rochester Americans.
Although he's there to jam it in, and his third goal of the night as the Amherst take a 3-2 lead.
More to life than sports? Not here. Rochester's most listened to sports station. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.